Hi there, club members, and welcome to this evening's live session. So we'll get stuck straight into things. A lot of today is going to be telling you what I've been working on so you can have more easy access to a bunch of information. So let me share my screen. And we're jumping on to our Trello board. Today's live session. And as you can see, I've got quite a lengthy agenda list this time around. So first of all, I wanted to mention that Charles and myself did a special presentation. When word came out that Melbourne were moving to level 3 operations for dental, that in effect meant that there were going to be a lot of dental practices, in essence, partially or fully closing for the next few weeks. We were never actually given a finished date. I imagine it's going to be for 6 weeks. And so because of that, it's been the second time that we've moved into this space. The first time there was a little bit of shock and awe. We weren't quite sure where we were at. We were trying to gather as much information as possible, and our heads were very busy with that. And even though we thought, oh, this could be an opportunity to work on the practice and on the business, we didn't really have the headspace to be able to fully expand into that. Also, we were very swiftly back to level two again as well. And so it was nice, short, sharp, and sweet. This time it might be a few more weeks, and we have got more headspace around us because we have become acclimatized to what's been going on around us. We were expecting it for a little while as well. So I think now is going to be a time where we can stretch our brains out a little bit, and our team members can too, to be able to do some of this work. And so I really wanted to make sure all the resources that we've been talking about during the club live sessions are very easy to access. But keeping in mind too that there are going to certainly be a handful of practices that were going to be put into a headspace where can we actually survive these next few weeks into level 3? And how can I disappoint my staff yet again and bring their hours down, their income down to be just JobKeeper, and highly unfortunately some of our casual staff that can't receive JobKeeper even though they have been working with us, but they haven't met the criteria of the JobKeeper. So it's harsh news for everybody. And so because of that, I thought I'd get Charles to do a bit of a presentation on managing these sort of changes, this sort of news. So that can be found within, if you are on our Trello, that can be found if we scroll down here. I think I've got it up there. Oh yes, look at this, view edits. I've got the link there, I just haven't saved it. The link is right there, and it's also further down. And so this was done, I think, on the Tuesday. And so you will see there that Charles does a fantastic presentation on just getting our head around what's been happening and coming to it from a more empowered position. Unfortunately, there was an audio and video delay with the recording. I have no idea what's happened. It's been the second time that's happened. And so I've now since shifted to Camtasia for my recordings, and finding it a lot better as well. If you were just doing a scan through, that live session is under red, Charles's Passion Red, under the completed column there. So do log on to that. It's the sort of thing you can listen to. You don't have to watch it. You can listen to it as you're driving around or going for a walk. I think we're still allowed to go outside for a walk, which is encouraging. The next thing I wanted to mention is our daily focus. So we've had 2 weeks. The first week, our daily focus was going through different methods of rapport building with our team members and our patients. And so we had a different element of rapport building every day for a week. And then this past week, it's been different ways you can use Zoom effectively for your practice as well. And now as of tomorrow morning, we're going to be going back to just having one concept that we're concentrating on for a whole week. As you know, I'm a passionate believer in that we can always think of a great idea or hear a great idea, think I'm going to do that tomorrow. And if you do it just tomorrow, that does not create a habit, and it does not create a lot long-standing impression in our brains about shifting the way we think about a certain thing. And so from tomorrow, it's going to be, again, that one concept for the whole week. You're reminded every morning to do this particular action or think of things in this particular way or a different perspective, and making sure that you do it every day. That's more likely going to start making a bit of a difference with how you manage that particular area in your day. And so that's going to be happening from tomorrow, back to the week-long daily focuses. The third thing is, let's have a quick look at the level three operations for those Melburnians who are with us at the moment and see what that means. Here's the Trello card for the level three operations. So let's have a look what this means. No aerosols, emergency patients only. So a lot of script writing, a lot of patient reassurance, and I do want to encourage you to do this. And so when we're talking about only being able to see emergency patients, sometimes what happens is that you think, okay, only the ones that are going to have raging toothaches or swellings or broken front tooth, they're the ones that are going to be coming in. We're going to be putting a Reva in there, a glass armor in there without any much adjustment, or we're going to be writing a prescription or what have you. We can't do too much more than that at the moment. However, do consider when you've got your patients on the phone, they may be having an emergency from their perspective, but not from a dental operations perspective. But in their mind, they're still in a state of urgency. While our dentists, our dental nurses, and certainly the receptionists as well, if they've had dental experience, while you've got that patient on the phone, and we have got very restricted hours happening in the surgery, and so all of these team members have more spare time, utilize that opportunity to reassure your patients and continue to build further trust and reliability, friendliness that with your patient. And so don't just say, well, it doesn't fit in with our criteria, so we can't see you right now. Let's book an appointment time for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks down the track. No. Either the receptionist, if they can manage that appointment, that phone call themselves, or take the number down, reassure them whether the dental assistant or the dentist is going to call them back at their next opportunity. Get on the phone with them. Let them know, yes, I know that your gums are bleeding at the moment and you would normally be getting a regular cleaning done to help control your periodontal problem at the moment. We can't do it at the moment, but here are a few things that you can do at home to help alleviate the symptoms around that. I know that you've got a chipped tooth and that we can't do anything about that right now, but here's something you can do from home that can help alleviate that. Maybe get a bit of wax there, get a little emery board, you know, smooth it down a little bit. And so do what you can to take your time, slowly explain to the patient things that they could possibly do to help alleviate their troubles at that time and still be there for your patients. It may not be there physically, but you can certainly advise them. You know more than they do. You can, and a lot of people do panic. Oh my gosh, I can't get in for 6 weeks. This is just going to get worse. You can reassure them, no, I know it's a broken tooth, but usually the fragile part of the tooth has broken away. The rest of it should remain pretty stable. Don't chew on that side, or don't eat any ice blocks or chew on bones or anything hard. Have nice soft foods over the coming weeks until we can see you. But you're on my priority list that the minute we can see you, we're calling you straight away, or let's put an appointment on the side for you. So when the minute we're up and running again, you're one of the first patients that we see. What I have noticed, I've been on the phones as well with one of my clients talking through all these issues with patients and delaying their appointment times. And again, I'm going to have a look down to see if there's any chats there. And what I'm encouraging you to do is follow my lead in what I have found to be a much more enjoyable and much more effective way of managing these sort of phone calls. Over the past years of dental receptionist, of being a dental receptionist, I have had on numerous occasions, long lists of patients that I've had to ring up and say, someone's on maternity leave, so we need to move all these appointment times, or we've had an equipment breakdown, we need to remove these appointment times, or for whatever reason. And I've always prided myself on, okay, I've got 50 phone calls to make, I'm making them all today, don't you worry about that. And steadily going bang, 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 bang through all of these appointment times. At the moment, it's a little bit different. There's a whole lot more explanation that needs to go into these sort of discussions, and I truly want to be there for the patients. And so that requires me to take my time. So I've really forced myself to slow right down. And my agenda is not to get through a certain number of phone calls. My goal at the moment is to make every single phone call meaningful for the patient. And so what I'm doing is I'm explaining what needs to happen and then checking in with them. We have to delay your appointment time for that filling. Let's organize another appointment time. I don't go straight to that. What I do is say, we need to organize, because of all these reasons, we need to reorganize your appointment time for your filling for a few weeks down the track. How do you feel about that? How's that tooth feeling? So then at least if they say it's actually really cold sensitive, if that's actually starting to throb, it's actually more of that tooth is broken away, then I can help reassure the patient. And if it's a true emergency, bring them in a bit sooner to get it seen to. Taking the time with the patient so they truly understand, to say to them, we're not closed right now. So even though we've delayed your treatment, if you develop any emergencies, any questions at all, you ring us, we're here for you still. Just ring us and have a chat with us over the phone. We'll direct you on what you can do. Do you understand? And helping that, and making sure that I'm taking enough time with that communication, putting in enough thoughtful pauses, and being compassionate enough in my approach to the patient that they know that they can bring up anything. They can say, actually, I do want to be seen straight away, or I do want a phone call back from the dentist themselves. They've got the opportunity to say all of that because I'm not rushing through these calls. And I am finding that by the end of the day, I have a feeling inside of myself that I've made the practice a little bit stronger because I've changed my approach in this particular scenario to these sort of calls. So I encourage you to do the same thing. I've got a bit of a script that I'll mention a little bit later. Very light appointment books. And so whereas, you know, you might be putting time in between each appointment time, so you make sure you're doing a lot of environmental cleaning in between each appointment. You may just have three patients booked in for the day because that's all the emergencies that you have. Reduced staff, you'll either have a skeleton staff on site, so some people working on site, some people working from home. You may have just completely closed your doors and have everyone working from home. So whatever you have, you've got the opportunity to work on your business as well. Staff reduced hours to cover JobKeeper, and on an extremely average, this is just a huge generalization, staff members generally be working around 25 hours a week in order to earn up to their JobKeeper. They get the JobKeeper regardless, but while you've got people working for that JobKeeper, why not strengthen your practice in the meantime? So it's an opportunity to work on your practice. And of course, we're postponing the majority of treatment until October, depending on when it, you know, the true 6 weeks was going to be late September, but let's just call it October just for the argument. So see script below. Before we go into the script, I'll also mention that we've got the image here of what the level 3 restrictions mean. Do not generate aerosols such as dental examinations are to be done without the use of triplex. The use of hand instruments only for periodontal you can do extractions, analgesics and antimicrobials, soft tissue pathology, for example, ulcers. Where generating aerosols is limited to of acute dental pain by endodontic treatment or restorative treatment of extensive carious lesions under dental dam, significantly damaged upper front teeth due to trauma, restorative treatment provided under dental dam. So this is the thing, if you can put dental dam on, you can get a filling done. You certainly can't do crown preps. It's very difficult to do a crown prep with a clamp around the margins of the tooth where you're drilling. And always do keep in mind what the Australian Dental Association have said, that the things that are important for you to practice at all at the moment, but certainly all three, to make sure that the patient uses hand sanitizer when they walk in, and even better yet, also washes their hands at the basin when they walk in. We want them to be removing their mask with their own hand, putting their mask away in a pocket, in a handbag, then cleaning their hands. And then to do the mouth rinse, the antibacterial mouth rinse or antiviral mouth rinse, and then doing the environmental cleaning after. Those are the three really important things that the infection control Sharon said on the ADA webinar. And keep in mind that we do have the recording of that webinar, and I'll show you where that is. compromise patients with dental concerns which may compromise their systemic disease, a higher risk of rapid progression of dental disease, medically necessary dental care on referral from a medical practitioner. All the things to defer are any fillings that create aerosol that can't be done under dental dam, any treatment on any confirmed case of a COVID-19 patient, they are all to be seen at a proper facility with negative air pressure in the room. So do have a look at and become very aware of you. I'm sure you already have anyway. It's a list of things that we're all quite used to seeing right now. Under the COVID-19 operations list, you'll see a webinar, federal 28th of July 2020. That is, again, Sharon, Infection Control Sharon, talks a lot about infection control, PPE, or the rest of it. And I'll just pop a link to that right here. I'll just call it, since we're Infection Control Sharon. And I'm putting a couple of asterisks at the start and at the end of that sentence, so then it will become bold when I hit save. The script for postponing, I did not write that correctly, postponing. Patients' treatments. So this is a script that I've been using. Hi, Sally. We have you scheduled checkup and cleaning on Tuesday next week. Have you heard about the increased dental restrictions for Melbourne? Now, we want this to be a two-way conversation. Do you just, you know, ask a few questions that rely upon them giving an answer? Many times I've been getting the response of, I've been waiting for your call. So they know that it was going to be postponed at some stage. If they have not heard about it, just explain it. That because of the COVID situation and our higher numbers here in Melbourne, we have been mandated to move into level 3, which means that there are a lot of treatments that we cannot perform. We are in essence just seeing emergency treatments only. So then for the coming weeks, dental practices can only see emergency patients and only provide very limited services. One of the services we have to delay is you need to move your appointment time to October. How is your mouth feeling? Are you experiencing any particular issues? And then be quiet. Allow that person. Be a support and a source of advice and guidance for the patient. Let them know that despite the restrictions, you are still there for them. And then we continue. I'd like to get you in the book for October now, because last time we were in this position, our schedule became booked out for weeks and it was to find times for people. Would the same day and time work for you? Then choose the same day and time and a date in October and mention that. If it's suited them this time round, it's likely to suit them next time round. Again, the feedback I'm getting from patients is, well, I'm not working at the moment, or no, I'm at home all the time. Oh, yep, just pop it in the diary. You do want to try to rebook the appointment time rather than just put them on a list to call again later or asking them to call you later. For the moment, the ADA, the government, the board tell you that you can move to level 2 or above, you know, level 2 or level 1, that you go move straight into full appointment books. You're going to need production quickly and as enormously as you can as when you can get up and running again. We need to keep these practices viable so everyone gets to continue on beyond this pandemic and try to get back to some sort of normality when it comes to their income and job stability. If the patient chooses not to book in, that's when you can say, I will place you on my list of people I will call once the restrictions have lifted and we can organise your appointment then. I would never just say, well, call us. You call us in October and we'll book you in. I would never just rely on the patient. This is your responsibility to make sure that you're getting this patient back in. It is a duty of care that you have to the patient, but there's also a duty of care to the people that work in the practice and the practice itself that we're doing everything we can to assure busyness when we get back to normal. And if you have any need to speak with us over this time, we are still here. So please don't hesitate to give us a call. Thank you so much. Safe and well. Now, the other thing I'm going to mention at the top of this is something for you to do is communicate operations to patients. It can be either through your Facebook page, it should be both your Facebook page and your website at the very least. They have two very low, if cost areas where you can put this information. Patients will avoid calling you. They think that you're closed. This is what happened last time, but you still want them to be able to research whether you are indeed closed or not and to be able to give them some kind of guidance and advice from there. Change the message on your answering machine to say, "We are still open, so please do give us a call back in the morning," or leave your number. We'll give you a call back in the morning. We'll discuss your particular situation. You can send SMSs. Keep in mind that the length of SMS may be long unless you put a link there to your website page, for example, where you've got the information there. So the SMS cost could double any SMS messages you happen to send through to get all the information in. You can send an email. Keep in mind, though, that emails, I believe, are sent to patients when they're expecting them, because the open rate for emails is very, very low. Open rate for SMSs is like 99% within the first 3 minutes. It's ridiculously high. Email open rates are 13 to 23, 30% if the patient knows that, even if the patient knows you. So because you're sending an email, it does not mean it's going to be read. And certainly it won't be read in a timely fashion. Some people open their emails up once every couple of weeks. Quite different to me, who opens up my emails within 10 minutes of it being sent to me. So do communicate what's going on with your patients. And you remember through, and I've got it over this side here, if you go to Canva for video for patients, I'll link this card. I'll copy that. That's a how to create a video for your patients that you can post to your website, so you can post to your Facebook page. And that way, you can, in a very elegant way, communicate to your patients what's going on right now. So I'll just put that here as a link. Using Canva to create a patient video. Okay, making sure there's no questions. Beautiful. Because of the fact that you've got some downtime at the moment and possibly got people working from home and it's a great opportunity for them to be useful and do things that you just generally don't have time to do during normal operations. And so I've got a couple of things I've mentioned worth mentioning again, because now's the time they're going to be useful. First of all, let's go down to here, this link. This is on the Julie Parker Practice Success, clearly available for everybody. And it's the COVID-19 Practical and Useful Actions for Your Team and Your Practice. As you scroll down, it just says here, click on the boxes below for more information. First of all, I've got a little call out there to any non-club members who I promoted this page again just via an email blast to my list, and which you may have received. So that's just a call out to non-club members to become a club. While it's free, it's a great way of just broadening the amount of information that you're bringing into your practice, into your knowledge base. But then down into the guts of it all. So a practice manual, you click on practice manual, and that's where it will take you either to a Word document or to a link or to a whatever, more information about that particular thing. And this is where I talk about Evernote and a few steps around creating Evernote for your practice manual. A digital practice manual nowadays is very easy and much more. You can embed videos, you can put links to websites and web pages. You can do search functions. So just look up hand washing. It brings you up all the documents of hand washing. Much easier to update as well. And so it does take time to do this sort of thing. And so this is a great opportunity to get your practice manual, existing one, converted to a digital version such as Evernote, or if you haven't got one at the moment, start from scratch. It's fantastic. And if you do start from scratch with your practice manual, even if you've got existing stuff, I've got a lot of content, and I'll just make this a bit smaller. I've got a bunch of content that I provide for nothing. All you need to do is provide to me your Evernote login details. It's free. There's a free version of Evernote. You don't need to have a paid version. And that's where all of these folders of PDFs, governing policies, documentation, reception, tasks, occupational health and safety, team meeting minutes. The big one is the infection control. Infection control broken down, that's from all of our governing documents. I've broken it all down to be sectioned. So you've got one note per actual task, such as how to bag instruments for the autoclave, those sort of things. And so that can all be uploaded straight away. And from there, you can take out what's not necessary, add in what is, and edit other bits and pieces as well. So if you want that, please do just email me, and I can send you through, or I can populate your Evernote for you. Practice YouTube channel. Now, a YouTube channel for your dental practice is such a tremendous way of creating an accompanying feature to your Evernote, to your practice manual. So all of the videos you can upload, how to wash the suction system, how to maintain the autoclave, how to use this new material, all the way through to taking a video of how we want a new patient welcomed into the practice. We want, here is a video of the receptionist conducting a new caller, telephone call over the phone. You can take videos of all of these things, upload them to YouTube, mark them as private so only people who have a link to it, so your team members, have a chance to see it. That is a tremendous way of forcing out the role play of something, so therefore everyone who's involved in the role play learns these skills more quickly and is more likely to roll them out next time they're called upon to do so. But also, if you can imagine a new team member coming into the fold, and they usually came with, you know, again, we're back to normal again, we're busy, we don't have the time to devote to all of the training that we would normally like to. But we can say to that team member, you want to know how we love training new patients? Have a look on our new YouTube channel. There's three or four videos there of what we do with our new patients. And they'll be watching it, just like a television program. They'll be watching it and understanding a hell of a lot more clearly the way you do things at your practice. And little snippet videos such as, when we put the bins out, we need to put them on this corner now. You could upload it quickly to WhatsApp, but always load those sort of videos into your YouTube well. You can then have public YouTube videos, which are fun videos, such as each practitioner telling the public out there why they became it. You can have a tour of the practice video as well, and make your YouTube channel really attractive and engaging for potential patients and patients that you already do have as well. You could upload videos. This is how an extraction is done. This is how a crown preparation is done. And so when you've got a patient with you and asking a few questions, I've been thinking about the tooth whitening. Maybe you don't have a lot of time to devote to answering that particular query right then. But then you could say, look, I've got your email address in our records. I'm going to send you through a couple of email of YouTube videos of how we do whitening here. And that will tell you exactly what's going on. Wonderful. Maybe you talk to a patient about, a classic scenario is a patient is kind of giving off the vibe they can't quite afford the treatment, although they'd really like it. And so you say, look, I can talk to you about our payment plans if you like. And it just seems a little bit funny if there's another patient in the waiting room, or the patient's in a bit of a rush, doesn't have the time. What about instead saying, look, we have got a pre-recorded video describing our different payment plans that we offer here at the practice. Let me email you through the link, or I'll SMS you through the link, and then you can have a look in your own time. And then if you have any questions, you call me straight away and I'm here for you. So a YouTube channel can really make an enormous impact the way you manage your team, your practice, and your patients as well. So I encourage you to look into that. Website update. With the website update, I've got a link there of, I think it's WellSites that I've got a link there too. My Dental Marketing. And this was a blog article that Carolyn Dean, the talented, talented Carolyn Dean, wrote about what you can do to upgrade your website. So there's some information there for you. Go through, engage your patients with My Smile Sim. This is something that we're talking about actually next Wednesday, which I'll talk to you a bit more about. And so you can see there that you've got a whole range of things that you can do. These ones here are for your practice. Scrolling down a little bit, there's a whole bunch there for your team. Virtual team catch-ups, virtual team brainstorming sessions. And behind each of these cards, there is more information, team updates, develop team self-awareness, establish a book club. That's an interesting one. For your patients, so send special birthday greetings. Again, you've got a bit of time up your sleeve. So what else can we do to really have patients aware that we're thinking about them, that we're still nurturing that relationship? Dental emergency management, how can we help them in their times of distress orally? All the rest of it there. And then down the bottom here, there's a few things just for yourself. So plan virtual gatherings, exercise, revisit an old hobby, meditate, listen to some podcasts. Charles Covis podcast, The Charles Covis Show. I recommend Ali. So there's a whole bunch of bits and pieces there. And I've got something there as well. If you've got any brilliant ideas you think belong on that page for everybody else, please send me your ideas because I'll create another card for that. So that is at the bottom of the level 3 operation card there. The other couple of documents that you may find useful is, sure, we want to do practice manual, but kind of where do we start? And I've got a document here, practice manual, a plan of action. And I've got it opened up here because sometimes it takes a bit of time to open it up. So I've already opened it up. And I don't know how that got in there. That's a mistake. Delete. I've obviously hit paste there somewhere. So a plan of action, and this is where I have got given you a document, left it as a Word document so you can populate it and edit it to suit you. We've got the standing operating procedure, who we've delegated this particular to, the date they commenced it, and then the date that it became completed, or you can just tick off in that column completed. This is a document that can be constantly updated if you've attached it to your own Trello board, for example. Otherwise, you can have one master copy that gets ticked off. So scheduling appointments, these are all under reception, generating an account and receipt, discounts, refunds, grouping family members in the software, and all the way through of reception duties that just came to my mind over a few moments. Left there a bunch of space there because you'll have more, I'm sure. And then as you delegate, write somebody's name in it, the date they commenced it, and give people enough time to get that completed. But while they're working from home, at least this is a plan. They've got name allocated to a whole bunch of different systems that they can just quickly generate a standard operating procedure for. You can do it in a Word document if you want them to do it, and if they want to do it as a video, you can still do it. Have these team members dial into your software program through Teamviewer. Just download teamviewer.com. Don't get the corporate license, just get a personal one, and it doesn't cost anything, just for personal use. And they can still, with their phones, videotape themselves creating an account and just uploading that very short video up to the YouTube channel, for example, or up to the Evernote, so it can then be part of your practice manual. And further down, then we've got clinical area and a whole bunch of things that came to my mind over just a few moments, a whole bunch of lines there for you to add your own bits and pieces. Then you've got practice management, award and conditions of employment, mobile phone policy, role responsibilities, business planning with the principal, a whole bunch of stuff there as well. So it's not overwhelming. All we need to do is get through one standard operating procedure at a time. And if we've got four people working from home or combination of working in downtime, if we've got four, we're getting four systems done at a time. How tremendous is that? And you absolutely progress through and get it all done. So is as an attachment, practice manual, a plan of action under the COVID-19 level 3 operations card. The other one is for your team training. I've got that one open here. And because again, with team training as well, sometimes it's difficult to know, well, how do we actually team training. And keep in mind that team training can be done ideally in person, but if it's done over Zoom, it is still very, very effective. So what I have done is created an agenda for your team training, and then it's up to you guys whether you do it once a day, once a week, once a month, once every quarter, once every 6 months, once a year. But even outside of this kind of lockdown space that we're in right now, I suggest that you do schedule in, decide how many team trainings do we want a year, and then schedule them in, whether it be anywhere between 1 and 12, you know, once a month, that's always a good idea. So what you need, team together online or in person, appoint a scribe to take down important information points and information. Consider whether you want to record the session. It's always great recording them. Upload it to YouTube for future team members to come into and start to learn how you do things there, and absent team members from the team training still get the benefit from it. Make arrangements for people to bring their own food or orders. If they're working from home, have a tea break so they get a chance to replenish their stocks, their stores. Decide on what the focus will be. Topics demand less time and others demand more. Have either one topic for morning session or another and another for the afternoon session, or dedicate a whole day on a large topic. Encourage everyone to have pen and paper ready. So first of all, watch the club recording, 1.5 to 2 hours. Go to the club hub and select the best recording for your team to watch. Encourage your team to take notes throughout. Pause the recording as team members and bring up points for discussion. So you either go to the club hub and go to one of those recordings, or you're going to the JPPS online courses and you're selecting one of those. Ask the team, this is the list of topics that we've got. What does everybody want to do? What does everyone want to concentrate on? What's relevant for us now? And then you establish, modify your system for 1 hour. So we always look at the recording first. This is the ideal. And then we're going to go through a series of questions. What is your current system for this particular topic? Let's say we're talking about a recall strategy. What are you currently doing? Write it down. Make sure everyone's aware. What is the ultimate goal with this system? Let's not think that, like with me and those phone calls with patients, that the ultimate goal used to be just to get through those calls as quickly as possible. My goal with that task now is different to a situation. Now my goal is that the patient is properly cared for and feels that we are still there for them. And so my goal is different. The goal for the system is, what does an improved system look like? Let's ask everybody, if this was going to be an ideal system for us, what would that look like? And then what is needed for this new system to be implemented successfully? And then what is each of the team members' responsibility in making sure this new system is implemented successfully? Sometimes this, what is needed for us, the question of what does an improved system look like? Sometimes that's a tricky question to answer. And my advice to you is to step outside of the boundaries that we normally have around our own practices that we're working in. Instead of what does the improved system look like, instead of the most successful practice on the face of the earth that do everything perfectly, their patients are so delighted. People are putting the door down to become a patient of this practice because they do things so well. How do they roll out this system? Just imagine, have your imagination run wild. How would they roll out this system? And then modify that ideal into what you can achieve in your practice. And then you have a lunch break. Then you go through and you do a role play of 2 hours. And the role play is crucial because that is where you are identifying little barriers you thought about of getting this system implemented. You're getting the script, the things that you're saying right. You're seeing what feels comfortable, and observers are looking at what's sounding great, what needs to have a bit of tweaking and adjustment. And then we're also creating an experience ourselves physically of this new system done. And so if we do that more than a few times, the next time we're called upon to get that system happening, we can do it straight away. Because how often is it that you go, gosh, we really want to put into place that new system, and when the moment calls for it, you go, I've just kind of lost my chance. I lost my nerve for a second. I couldn't quite remember everything. And then you lose your opportunity. You get rid of that deer in the headlights moment when you role play it, get experience for having done it. Remember, your brain can't tell the difference between a real experience, or I should say a real memory and a false memory. So it doesn't matter that you faked it. Make it the best you can, because your subconscious brain will remember you've done it beautifully well in the past. For reals, for reals. And so there is a role-playing guide that I encourage you to utilize with that. I'll make sure that I add that role-playing guide to that card. Formalize your new system. That takes about an hour. Now that you have refined your new system, get it down on paper or get it down on video to your YouTube. This is the way we do this now. Enter it into Evernote or your practice manual. And then you support the implementation. When the team is going together, you is going to gather again and discuss how successfully this new system is being rolled out. Are there any barriers? Is everyone comfortable with it? Do we need to modify, tweak things? And follow up these kind of things is your morning huddle. Put in the morning huddle every day for the next week or 2 weeks to check in. How's that system going? How's that system going? Remind everybody about the importance. We're rolling it out. We're still as eager about this as we were when we first discussed it. And so everything, so that document is designed. I think a full day training is ideal. Everyone can just devote their time and energy to that. We're not running late because we run late with patients. We're not trying to get out of the door early because we are out of the waiting room early so the next patient can come in. We are devoting a whole day to this. Now you can devote a whole day to team training every month, every quarter, every 6 months, or every year. But I do suggest you diarize it to make sure it does happen. And if you're doing two different ones, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, because they're not very intense topics you're talking about, then you just have, of course, all of these bits and pieces. But one for the morning, one for the afternoon. That's all on the COVID-19 level 3 operation. The next thing I wanted to mention to you was I've put together a very good place to start team board for you on Trello. Just going to tick off that we've gone through that. I'm going to drag this up because we're going to talk about that now. So there's the link there. I'm going to click on that. I'm hoping that the link works for everybody, but you don't need to have dialed in under me. Give me a hoy if you'd like to have this board. I invite you to the board, make you an admin for it once you've accepted the board, and then I jump off. So then it's your board. But this might be a good place for you to start when you're trying to get a path of work for yourself and your team while people are working odd hours home on site for the JobKeeper. And this is what I've put together so far. So as you know, now, if you have any problems with using the Trello, there is, and I'll go back to it in a minute, within the club board, there is the how to use Trello effectively. And if your team aren't used to it, quickly watch that. It will tell you the how-to of using Trello and you'll be much more familiar with the use of it. But really, using it yourself over and over again, even when it feels a bit foreign, that's where you get that lovely learning curve happening and you start to become familiar with it very quickly. So the first list there is a brain dump. Usually your thoughts are scattered. You've got a whole bunch of stuff going on up here. Don't worry about categorizing it. Brain dump it. And so you add something and, oh, yeah, that's right. And I wanted to add that as well. And, oh, that was another idea I had and this and that. And, da, 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 da. And just add them all because you can just easily drag them to wherever you want and organize them once you've done your brain dump. And so you can either do the brain dump yourself as the practice owner or manager, or you can have, let's say, okay, everybody, the whole team, let's jump onto a Zoom session. We are going to create our team board. So the first thing I'm going to do is have everyone consider the things that you think we could be doing during this time, and we're going to throw it all into brain dump. And then we're going to start to allocate it in a way that, and organize it in a way that makes sense, and start delegating particular tasks to particular people. So then I've also got your to-do list and just a couple of examples to get you started. So we want a thorough clean of the surgeries and drawers, etc. Within that card, you can put additional bits and pieces such as throw out old containers and get new ones, or whatever it's going to be. Don't forget to use this particular disinfectant for the chair bottom because it won't damage the leather. All those sort of things. And you can see here with the labels, I have put just a specific area. You can put a specific person per label, depending on how large your team is. You can create more labels, and you've got, so I can have a label just for myself. And I want correct. And that way, if you are in the clinical area, you're looking at all the items that are green clinical. You can either have the word there, you can click on the word and it just becomes the colour instead. So whatever your eyes are going to be able to see more effectively. Or if it's going to be, if that's the way you're going to allocate actual tasks to people by their name, you can go, oh, I'm just looking for all the jewelries, I'm looking for all the blues, that's all me. And so Trello can be just magnificent. And then I've got foundation. So do you have all your team culture, mission statements, values, statements, all of that sort of stuff? Do you have Have you got your team culture set? And I've added a couple of documents there that will help you if you need to get a push along. So the team member satisfaction survey and a guide on how to develop your own team culture. I can't tell you how wonderfully, tremendously impactful a living, breathing team culture is within your practice. If it's an effective one, it can then make so many things much more organized and in order, and all of a sudden your team start to cohere together. And every person you hire from that point on, they're stepping not just into your practice, culture. And so slowly but surely, you build up this very, very strong team. Practice ideals, this is where we go through values, mission. And I've got a document there that will help you develop what your vision is, called the Developing Your Vision Guide, surprisingly. The systems needed, so throw a whole bunch of systems. We've gone team training, and in the team training area, I've got the link to the online courses and the Club Hub as well. And then for you, put your own login details there. So any team member can be added to this board and then access to all the logins and stuff. We don't have to worry about, oh, what was the login for that again, and all the rest of it. Then your Evernote, and just a reminder there to request the content from myself via my email address there. And again, just start throwing in a whole bunch of stuff that you want to be added into your Evernote practice manual, or practice manual in, you could do it in Google Docs, whatever you end up getting it done in. And your YouTube channel as well. So if you would like access to this, or if you want to create your own Trello board, I think it's a tremendous way to get your team all working from this living, breathing document. It's constantly being upgraded. If Steph changed something on it, you see it straight away. We aren't crossing over delegated tasks. And if you watch the Trello how-to, the Trello doing session, you'll then be able to determine how easy it is to allocate and delegate a particular task to somebody and have feedback with them within their card, within their delegated task. So it's just tremendous, just tremendous. So jumping back to the club page, and if you go over here, role playing and training, and that's the role playing guide there. I'm going to copy that and add that into here. And don't forget the link. So we'll discuss that as well. What I've done is, because the COVID-19 operations list, there's a whole bunch of different cards you need to jump into to find the right information. I thought it would be much easier for you if we put it all together into one of just like an online course. I'll show you what I mean. Here's the Club Hub page, which I have upgraded, so I'll let you know about that. But at the very top here, we've got operating under COVID. links, documents, videos, and guides to help you practice effectively. Click into that. You'll have your JPPS online courses login. If you don't have it, let me, because you have the ability to have access to all 17 online courses for nothing. On top of that, I've converted all of the Trello sessions into online courses because it's a much more elegant way for you as a user to move through. Also, you get to track where you're at, once you've seen, which ones you haven't seen, because you get a progress report, you kind of get a progress line on each of these online courses. And so let me just quickly show you. So this is the under COVID-19. And what it looks like in your eyes, through your eyes, not just for this one, but for all of the live sessions as well. So you've got this percentage complete area here.
This online course, which
bit of a video as an intro just to explain to people who aren't club members what that's all about. Then we've got the COVID safe plan, the templates, a video there, permitted worker scheme, a download there, all the ADA information, the decision trees, the restrictions, a whole bunch of different resources, the signs for the front door to try to, who are sick not to come in, the register for visitors to your practice, useful actions for you and your team. Again, a link back to that website page. A couple of scripts there and the operations in level one and operations in level two. And of course, the operations from level three will be added after today's live session. For example, going into the resources, then you go in, there's either a link or there might be a video. There we go, video from me at one of my clients who wonderfully said I could use it within the club. And so that is a one area where everything's housed for you. All of your student data, all of these pages of courses for you to do. And they're a combination of the paid ones that you would normally have to pay for and also all of the live sessions. Let me go back to the club hub. That online course for the COVID as well, as new information comes in, I'll be continually to add additional chapters to it. So if there's more information, it will just constantly be updated there as well. Now, feel free, this COVID online course, that's available for anybody. So if you wanted to copy the link and send it to anybody, please feel free. There's every chance I'm going to be doing it anyway, but feel free to do that. So the Club Hub, how have I upgraded it? It used to be a little bit confusing, so on how to find information. What I want is the Club Hub to be a better version than Trello in the sense of easy information. I love Trello because people can give me feedback of what they want to know. You guys can see all the to-do stuff that we're going to be talking about in the future. A lot of advantages Trello, but not everyone's decided to become a member of Trello, which means they don't have access to the old recordings. And this is where the club, it's anonymous, and so you don't, there's no interaction on it, but this is where you can have access to all of it. So first of all, you get to register now for the next live session or register for the next session, which is Evernote, which I'll tell you about in a moment. And then we've got all the live sessions. Make sure that you've got topics there so you know exactly which ones to look for. The morning huddle, your practice YouTube channel, marketing ideas. Goal template, asking for Google reviews, more marketing ideas. Level one operations, dental practice assessment. So you can go through all of the previous live sessions. And when you click into them, you get something similar to what that online course was that we just looked at for the COVID situation. Then we've got all the doing sessions along a different line, Excel, Google, Trello, and soon we'll be populating the Evernote one. Charles Covest presentation. So if you're really interested in just seeing Charles's stuff, this is where you go for that. We've had the special guest of Andrew Lee. We've got about four special guests coming up, but I just being aware that to start learning about or new ideas about things that will happen when you're in the general usual operation of your practice, it's not going to fit in well with you right now because your mind's busy around, well, we're not even functioning at the moment. We just want to survive. Don't tell me about hygiene programs. I just want to survive. Our special guest next Wednesday, though, is a little bit different. So Andrew Lee was from Health Practice Digital, talking a little bit about online marketing. And then all the downloads that I mentioned throughout the live sessions here, incomplete treatment letter, the three options version, team member progress assessment, team member satisfaction survey, writing a great job ad. I think I've just clicked into it by accident. Oh, there we go. I've clicked into it by accident. So all the downloads are listed there. Too far. Here we go. So the information now, and that's just a reminder to join the Facebook group. The amount of information on the Club Hub is enormous, but it's sectioned so it makes sense and is very easy to find what you need. So I hope you enjoy it. Please give me your feedback around that. I hope you have a good experience of it. COVID online course, new look Club Hub. Now I needed to delay the Evernote doing session because that was planned on the day that Melbourne got all word around the level 3 restrictions. And as a result, I needed to make sure that I was freely available for my clients that I do one-on-one work with to make sure all the team members and patients and everybody knew that a plan moving forward. So I had to delay, unfortunately, the doing session for Evernote, but it turns out it possibly was now that everyone's established in their level 3 in Melbourne. Now they've got the headspace to go, oh, now I'll do the Evernote doing session because we're looking at practice manual and making it digital. And so the booking registration link for the Evernote doing session is there. I'm going to tick that off though. And so it's also down here. You can also find it under the video tutorials. It's with them. There's the registration link. And of course, it is on the Club Hub. Register now. Whoa, keep pressing things. Right now for our Evernote doing session, so it is also there. It'll also be included on your follow-up email from this session. So there'll be multiple ways that you can get onto the next doing session. And that planning for a stronger practice, downtime training and tasks for your team, they're the same two documents that I've already moved through. The team training plan and the practice manual, a plan of action. So we have covered that. Team training, see attached docs. Oh, that was two things. I didn't need to do it twice. I can get rid of that one. I can't. Delete, tab, enter. There we go. Okay, so just a quick last thing before we wrap it up, and it's 5:58. I'm going beautifully with time. My Smile Sim is, if you go to the Julie Parker Practice Success website and then go to Julie Recommend, you will see a little hint of what my Smile Sim is about right here. There's a little video there about it. And I'll just quickly, it doesn't go for long, 38 seconds. So what that is, it is an app that's been developed by an Australian guy, brilliant guy, and Les Schneider. And they download the app, they take a photo of their before, it then goes off to My Smile Sim. They modify the smiles, what would look like with wider teeth or a veneer or two or some crown work. And then it goes back to the patient and the patient gets excited, of course, and says, I want that. And so then you can use this downtime by marketing this as a way of getting a few cosmetic consultations in your appointment book when you start back up again. And So this one's a little bit different than other systems that may just make your head too busy at the moment. This one is a practice builder. This equipment builder for when you get back on track again. And there have been some great success stories of people who have used it. And so Les is going to be joining us, and I'm going to be the trial run, as it looks like, at our next live session for My Smile Sim. So it'll be a demo and information session around. I encourage you to jump on, because it might be a very good use of some spare time that you have at the moment. Otherwise, I'd like to thank you so very much for your attention. What time is it now? It is 6 o'clock on the dot. Can't believe my good timing. I hope everyone has a beautiful afternoon and evening, depending on where you are in country. I wish you the very, very best during this time. If you are having any struggles at all with your practice or with yourself during this pandemic time, please do get in contact. And I want to be there as for you, and so does Charles, as much as we possibly can with whatever you need. Otherwise, I hope all the information that I've gone through today and overwhelming, do have a look into all the bits and pieces and links that I've suggested to you. And I look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. All the best. Bye-bye.